bunker after a nuclear event, and they slowly start getting radiation disease, and they start running out of food, and it gets kind of ugly, very pretty, a bunch of sexual stuff starts happening, rapes, and so on and so forth, and it's ugly and ugly and uglier, and it's really kind of a story about man and then what he would do, you know, under certain conditions, and it's a pretty dark movie, to say the least. I would say it's a very dark movie about where mankind would go under certain circumstances when the food starts running out, and so on and so forth.
What will do is to do such a great project.
Well, basically, Zombie Inc. Called me up and asked me if I'd do the movie, and I said, yeah. I read the script. I asked him, did you mind if I make some changes? And he said, yeah, you can definitely do anything you want, Michael. And it turns out he, as a director, worked differently than any director I've ever worked with before. He's French, but I don't think it's just because he's French. He said, like, to all the actors, it's a sandpit I want you to play in. So you can do any kind of improvisation you want. You can write any scenes you want. You can change the characters in any way that you want. And if I like what you're doing, then I'll put it in the movie. So we all did, by doing so, we kind of got on each other's nerves because, you would come in thinking you were shooting your big scene that day, and somehow they would end up shooting somebody else's something that they'd improv the day before. And we shot it in sequence, and so it was the only movie I've ever shot, 35 years working in the business, even a television show ever, that we shot in sequence. And so the movie kind of went off course from what the original script kind of was, and moved, and characters changed because of all the improvisations that were going on, and people like hooked up with different people and took sides with different people, and then then went back to the other side. It was kind of a bizarre, interesting way to work, and it made the actors very kind of ones felt like they were losing their parts, because other people were improvising stuff and they were using the shooting the hell out of it. And the angry actors got angry at each other, and there's a lot of tension on the set. A lot of really nasty tension really on the set between the actors, some actors in particular. There were kind of two groups, and they really fucking hated each other. And producers were always being called down. I think Zabe kind of set that up the whole time because he wanted that kind of tension and he wanted that to happen. And so I don't think it was any fluke. But actors will be actors, and when you take my screen time away from me, I will react. So, but what you're really forced to do is when I came in to do the rehearsals on this, and this kid right here, I'd never heard of before. His name is Michael Eklund. And we were doing improvs and so on and so forth, and I saw him, and I said to myself, yes, in the movie, he plays Bobby, you'll see. And in the script, he hardly had any fucking thing to do. Yeah, he was the smallest part of the movie, just about. But because he was so good at improvising stuff and coming up with stuff, he ends up being the antagonist in the movie. I was the original antagonist in the movie. He ends up being the antagonist in the movie. But when I showed up on the set, and I saw him, and we were improvising and doing all sorts of stuff, I said to myself, and Milo, too, is a great actor, I said to myself, all right, well, I got to get my A-game on, because this guy is going to steal the fucking movie. And he pretty much does anyway. But what happened with my character was the antagonist all the way through the movie. And me and a writer that we worked with, Aaron Sheen, kind of worked with him. We gave him a backstory that had to do with 9/11. And we turned him into a guy, as the movie progressed, we turned him into a guy that basically started out without humanity, but ends the movie with a little bit of humanity. And basically, for all the others, it's just the opposite. They have their humanity, and they lose it. And that's what the movie's all about. But he starts off without it.
and he gets a little of it back before he goes. And so he becomes, I think, somewhat of a sympathetic character. You wouldn't know it from watching the first 15 or 20 minutes of the movie, but that's what happened on this movie. This I was supposed to be the bad guy, but like when I got killed, everybody was supposed to go, yay! But it didn't work out that way because, once we created this backstory, there was all of a sudden we had some sympathy for the character. And Jennifer, my wife, is around here, something right there. She was
captured. And reportedly, they brought somebody in to help everybody become malnourished.
And well, they had a nutritionist on the set, and I think he lost 20 pounds, and Milo, I think, lost about 20 pounds. And these guys didn't really have 20 pounds to lose to start off.
And
I
don't
know too much about the girls and stuff. I know that I, basically, my character has a secret stash it's my bunker, actually. I'm the one that has the bunker, and it was my plan to kind of live out this, nightmare on my own, and they kind of barge their way into my bunker, and I'm not too happy about it. But I have a few secret stashes all over the place, so I never did any of that dieting, but they all dieted. You see this kid, Michael, without a shirt on, and he's chopping up the bodies, for instance. You got that to look forward to. I won't tell you which one. You can just see him. He's just not an ounce. The same with Milo. And Roseanne is another actress who just gives and gives. And it's just so... Watch the scene where when you watch these two guys try to take her down the stairs. Okay? There is nothing in that scene that is the least bit like Faye or any stuntman is involved in or anything like that. She's doing everything she can, including scratching and biting and kicking and screaming and biting, and these guys are trying to control her. And they shot that like 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 times. And you'll see a scene where I get tortured, and that scene was shot all day long. And it was fun.
So we're kind of doing this as an intro Q&A, so I don't want to be the only one asking questions. Does anybody here, I know you haven't seen the movie yet, does anybody here have a general question, or you can think about that for a moment, and, oh wait, there's a hand there.
Yeah.
Why is this not in wider release?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I mean, Anchor Bay is releasing this movie, and I don't understand...
It's not rated, so you can't put it in AMCs anymore.
Okay.
Well, I guess there's one answer for you. It's not rated, so you can't put it in AMCs. I don't know why it isn't. I mean, I believe that it should be, and it's I'm very proud of the movie. I think it's got a tremendous group of actors, and it's really dark. And really, really dark, and I call it like a psychological horror story. It's not like Frontiers, it's not like, Saw or anything like that. There's none of that gore or anything like that. It's more of a psychological horror story, but it'll kind of make you walk out of here going like, no. it's that kind of a movie. It's a little bit like, when I saw Requiem for a Dream, I was like, no. Brilliant. I'm not comparing this movie to that one. It's kind of a great movie, but it's a little bit. People aren't very nice in this movie. There aren't characters that are like too friendly with each other. It's kind of like what mankind does to each other. And I mean, that's really all you have to do is go on YouTube, and watch like what they did with Gaddafi's people did to him, and you can see kind of where mankind goes without restraint. I'm wondering in that YouTube piece, like when that guy's taking that metal thing and shoving it up Gaddafi's ass, I'm wondering, like, that pole or whatever it is that he's sticking up Gaddafi's ass, I'm wondering, like, is there a hero over there now? Are they buying drinks for him? Or if he's like...
Is that going to hear the answer to that question?
We live in a society.
closer to this than we think, you know. And if you look around, we live nice, protected America, and everything's nice. You know, you look around Africa, you look around, like, a lot of places, man. And it's pretty fucked up. And I don't think we're that far away from something like this happening. Hopefully it won't be in my lifetime and my children's lifetime, but... I think that most people would react the way that we do.
Son of a hand. I find if you just read the user comments on YouTube for anything, it already feels like the world has ended. Like it's all, like you're like, LOL, that bitch fell down, haha, or whatever. It's like, end of the world. Okay, is that hand there? The blonde hair hand.
The music is that maybe the best part of the movie. The music is wonderful, and that's the thing about the movie is it's brutal to watch, but it's beautiful to watch, and it's beautiful to listen to. And it's the music is beautiful, and I love the music, and so does everybody. And that's what makes Xavier such an interesting filmmaker. Is he takes such a it's a brutal movie, and he films it so beautifully, and the music is so beautiful that it's kind of just like you don't know how to feel because it's so sick to look at, but so nice to listen to.
There's a hand right there.
Hey man, I just want to say thank you.
The character that you played, the thankful person, was inspiring. All the actions and the things that my friends and my cousins would all play in the backyard and stuff, they always played you.
You're welcome, man. I just for your edification, not that it's really that important, but when I was a kid, there was a show on called The Wild Wild West. And I used to be Rebel Conrad. And me and my brother used to always fight about who was going to be James West and who was going to be Artemis Gordon. And so, dude, you know, we're brothers. It's a different generation. And, but thank you.
Now his kids are going to be you when they play. there's some very active hands towards the back, the second to last row in the back there. Yeah, you.
You know, the best is like kind of hard to Ed Harris is a guy that I respect a lot and I've always liked working with. You know, I got a chance to work with Sean Connery. He's a very talented guy. Nicolas Cage is a very talented guy. All those three guys actually on the same movie. Even, I'm trying to think. Paxton's pretty fucking good. I wish I would have. There's a lot of actors out there that I wish that I could work with, but man, I haven't had a chance to work with. And there's so many good actors out there, and hopefully I'll have the opportunity in the future to work with more. I've always wanted to work with Sean Penn. I think he's like, just fucking drop dead, fucking brilliant actor. And there's a bunch of people out there I'd like to work with, but those are a couple guys that kind of come to mind.
Who sucked?
About it is that most actors, I was always a fucking asshole. I get along with just about anybody, and anybody can do I don't really care, but I'm really like fucking passionate about like making sure that what I want to happen happens. And so I think people got like more. I think if you ask that question to a lot of people, they'd say Michael Biehn. But I don't really have anybody that I can really point to and say, I didn't enjoy working with them. The thing about it is actors all want the same thing, know, they want to work. They want to make a good movie. They want to do good scenes. They want to be honest on film. They want to, you know, they want the same things. And so I very rarely see, I mean, it happened on this one because Zombie set it up to happen that way. But I very rarely see, you know, squabbles on the sets between actors and actresses because, you know, it's like being on a football team. You know, every once in a while, you know, maybe something might, you know. But you want the same thing. Everybody wants the same thing. And everybody knows they're on a team, and they know what part they have to play, and they do it. They're professionals.
Well, I got the signal that we're going to get started, but before we do, I want to give you the opportunity to mention that you've got a new project of your own coming up. And
the victim?
Yeah.
Yeah, the victim, thank you. The victim is a movie that Jennifer produced, and I kind of got the idea with Robert Rodriguez on Grindhouse to do a little movie, and so we shot a little movie called The Victim. I shot it in, well, it's a little basically exploitation movie where I take her and a couple of her friends and get them naked and do dirty things with them. And I have dirty cops and like drugs and I got a little bit of torture, a little bit of action, and turn a serial killer. And I wrote it in about 3 weeks, and then we did pre production during that 3 weeks and rolled into a 12-day shoot. And it turned out really good. And now it's we just sold it to Anchor Bay, who's releasing this movie. And Anchor Bay is going to release our movie on DVDs and seats, pay-per-view and all that kind of stuff. And then I tapped into the college theaters. There's a theater in all colleges across the country. And there's a guy named Mike Holden that, you know, supplies colleges with second-run movies and third-run movies. That's what they played out at the megaplexes and all that kind of stuff. And he's going to run my movie, for the first time, as a first-run movie in 50 college theaters across the country. So it will first start showing up in college theaters across the country in May. July? February?
It's going to run in February.
Yeah, February.
And when are we
going
to the Alamo?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we're coming to the Alamo.
Tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Right.
All right, well, thank you so much for coming out.
Thank you. If you like it, support it.